Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Rod Chalk.
You don't write down nothing today, but if you write down something, write this down as a declaration. If you don't feel it, write it down as a declaration. I want my life to impact. I want my life to make a difference. Can I expose a lie that's in the room right now? Is that all right with all of us? My life used to make a matter. It's what some of you heard. If I was a little better at this, then my life might make a difference. If I hadn't screwed it up so much, maybe it'd make a difference. If I could only get that thing better, then maybe I'd make a difference. The truth in the matter is a surrendered heart to the Lord can make a difference, can make an impact. Today I want to talk to you and I want to walk through a journey that that I believe is going to lift us and begin to position us for what God is doing. And thank you so much. I appreciate it. Isn't she doing awesome? I mean, it's just amazing. Sometimes I look over and I see her up there and I'm like, when did you learn to do that? You know, it just seems like all of a sudden, but see, again, a surrendered heart, someone is saying yes, and all of us are doing this, all of us are in this place. God puts some of us in a place that maybe we're up there playing the piano, but some of us are put into a different place, but we all are part of this kingdom, amen? Amen. Well, you want to grab your Bibles with me, and we're going to turn to a few places. I really want to stay in the Word today in this and explore a few things together. As you hear me often say, and when I don't like to listen to my preaching. I just some people do like to listen to what their own preaching or whatnot. I just don't like to hear my own voice. Okay, in that kind of sense, in there, it's like you hear yourself on an answering machine. And you're like, who is the weird guy from apparently Texas? You know, like what's going on, you know, in there. But right now, I seem to be saying this phrase an awful lot. I seem to be saying, now, try not to be too familiar with the passage of scripture I'm about to use. Because what happens is there's certain passages of scripture that sometimes we will use a lot, or sometimes you've heard a lot, or if you've been through Sunday school for many years, or been through, you know, in a sense, sat in church for many years, you will have heard this passage of scripture. But I wanna go through three or four of them today with the time that we have left here and just explore this one thing that I believe that God is calling for us. So Isaiah chapter 6. We're going to go there, and that is that, in a sense, that very familiar passage from verses 1. Really, we're going to sort of stick around to the end, somewhere around 6, 7, and possibly look at 8 as well in there. But I want to show you something here right now, and this is important that I stop and do this first. I don't know how to do this any other way. In fact, usually when I don't do this, then it's weird. When I'm not open and vulnerable, I get a confusion going on. It's almost like an attack, okay, of the enemy, in that sense that I can get confused in my thoughts. But when I am open and vulnerable, and when I'm doing, even maybe even better way to say it, when I'm listening to Holy Spirit and responding to Him fully, I seem to be able to flow a lot better. But this, I'm not going to ask you to say it out loud, is because we know this is a glass and this is a glass of water. But if I was to ask you to describe this glass of water, how would you describe it? Okay, in there. And I know that some of you that are already teachers and you already know where I'm going and whatnot. Some of you that specifically, it's hilarious teaching sometimes prophetic people, because I'm like, okay, don't skip ahead and know the end of the lesson. Come back with me and walk there, okay, in there. But this, we know that you could either describe this as half full or half empty, right? And so before I came here, and we've been here now about 12 years now, and before I came here, and even probably about 10 years before that, I went on a journey in my life to transform. I went on a journey in my life that I knew that was going to have to actually change the way, like I was going to have to, I didn't know anything about Carolyn Leaf. I didn't know anything about the sense of the pathways of your brain that you begin to sort of carve out. All I knew is I had habits that weren't going to just be broken because I decided to get someone to lay hands on me. Now, come on now. That's a little blunt though, right? Okay, in there. That sometimes we just want someone else to pray it off of us. And really, it's something we've learned and we've become a behavior and we've become something that's there. And we need to step into something that's possibly going to be difficult, but to see transformation and change. And so I began to hear, and how, this is how you hear it. Isn't it just so? You hear it come out of your kids. Anybody been there? And you go, oh, that's got to be from your mom's side of the family. It's like, that can't be from me in there. And then all of a sudden, and if you dare accidentally when you're newly married say that, and then you repent quickly, okay, in there, you often get recognized, though, the fact if you hear your kids saying things, and you're going like, that's exactly me. Okay, that is exactly where they got that from. And so what was to happen with me, seriously, you're going to look at, maybe some of you know this because this might be your struggle. But if I were to be driving down the road and my car would go, I think I've shared this with you before. At that time, I might as well have just, if at that time there really wasn't, you didn't Google on your phone all the time, I might as well just Googled where a wrecker yard was, because in my brain, I had already decided that this was the end of this car, because that blah, 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 was going to turn into, oh, I got to go to the mechanic, which was going to turn into a $700 bill, and the car was only worth $1.50, and I didn't know really how, you know, and before you know it, and see, my wife isn't like that. Karen's not like that. And sometimes she would sit there and just go, okay, let's let them be for a little while and it'll explode and then we'll just put it all back together. And sometimes she would look over and go, and you'd get that look, you know, okay, anybody know what look I'm talking? None of you put up your hands. Don't put up your hands. Okay, come on now. We train in this, gentlemen. Do not put up your hands. But, you know, we have these moments, though. And for me, I would have that car already in the wrecker. I would have that if all of a sudden the computer did a little bit of a blip, 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 you know, whatever it would be. If they do that, it might be trouble. But you know, whatever it was going on, it would do something and immediately see my glass was absolutely living half full. Constantly. And someone had said to me when I had talked about this before, that's just semantics. You mean, it's just a measuring stick. It can be measured as half full or it can be measured as half empty. That is actually not, okay. We understand scientifically we can look at this way. But can I tell you and can I challenge you? It is very important that you see this glass as half full. It's extremely important if you at all struggle with depression, you gotta start calling that half full. Because half full has an expectation of full's coming. Half empty has an expectation that it's gonna disappear. And you see, this is where I'm saying with us, and right now, the Lord told me this the other day, and for those of you that are visitors, and you might not be used to hearing somebody say that, it's something where really just me sitting quietly with God, and I feel as though the Lord is saying this to me. But I felt like Him going, now this was weird. He showed me a little bit of religion that I still had left over. Anybody got any? Don't put up your hands! Okay, in there, right? In there. The idea in this, though, is he's like, Rod, good job, son. And I had a heart, and then he starts showing me our prophetic community. And I had a hard time because he starts showering, look at what I have to work with. And it wasn't the glass half empty going, Rod, look at what I got to work with. It was, Rod, look what I have to work with. Look what is about to happen. You guys are set up and you're ready, okay, for this next season. But it's been also burning upon my heart that in this next season, because the Lord asked me, right after he was done telling me how awesome, he said, so what did you fulfill in January? Right? we did say that was going to happen, didn't we? Yes. Okay. And it was that reminder, if you weren't here in the beginning, it was, I believe that in this year, this is a time for God to begin to fulfill the things that he has been saying over us. And it might be over you as an individual, but over us as a corporate church as well. So here's what he was just trying to do, is did you look and did you see it? Because it happened. Not, did it happen? He was saying, did you see it happen? Because sometimes things can even happen and we don't recognize them and then we don't apply them to us. And it's something where for all of us right now, we are in a season, and you all know that I love you, right? If you're visiting here, I love you too, okay, in there. But here's the thing in this. Some of us have got to start to stop. Might seem weird to say it like that, but we got to start to stop. We've got to stop representing the wrong kingdom at the same time we're representing the correct kingdom. For me, this person who again, can you imagine? I don't know where it fully came from, but it was in there. If I were to drive up to the garage and I could describe all the sounds the car would make. I think the mechanic just had a kind of hoot after a while going, could you repeat that one? You know, it was like a bloop, psh, psh, and a psh at the end of it. He goes, that's probably and I mean, seriously, it took me so long, but I did the thing that we normally do. I came up for prayer for it. Now hear me now. I needed to come up for prayer for it because I needed help to begin, right? I needed that sense. It was recognizing to me that when I came forward, God, I need your help to begin to see this thing stop. I need to start to stop this particular thing. And it might be different to all of us. It might be different for all of us. But the Lord has been taking me on a journey that this is really for all of us here today of what something we have to start to stop. And you might sit there and say, well, I don't do that. Well, that's great, fantastic in there. But I believe that the Lord has really began to show me and be, before he shows me something, he deals with me about something. Anybody? Anybody been there? Okay, I don't get to just see something and go, well, that's interesting. I get to experience something. I get for him to show me something. Because if I ever thought that I was excluded from it, he's very quick to show me, okay, how I'm not excluded for that. I never feel guilty. Like, I know, I don't feel like he's going, you know, so I make these noises. It's so strange. You know, whatever it would be, okay, in there. But it was, yeah, it's just a strange noise, this that just come. But in Isaiah, we see what the power of God can begin to do. Isaiah has an encounter here with God that is extraordinary. It's not normal. It's not every day. It's not like Isaiah got up and every day this happened to him. This was an extraordinary experience that caused him to recognize something that had to stop. It was an extraordinary experience in the presence of God that caused him to move towards repentance. See, repentance isn't a wrong thing, but if repentance is just done because we start digging around for something I need to repent about, that is where we get into chaos for me. I want to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, though, that when he says something, when he shows me, I'm quick to repent. And can you imagine have been there? Let's read it together. Instead of just reading it from what we've already heard, just put yourself in this room at this time. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Wow. Can you imagine? Above it stood seraphim. And each one had six wings. With two he covered his face. With two he covered his feet. And with two he flew. And boy, you could preach on that for a long time right there. And one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And then this, I'd always miss this part. And the posts of the doors were shaken by the voice of him who cried out. and the house was filled with smoke. The doorpost, the ancient doorpost that he was seeing in this moment, and I don't know whether or not, and maybe a better scholar would know, I don't know whether or not this is just a vision that he had sitting at home or lying on his bed, or if he was transported to that particular place. We find those things do happen to John at different times, that he said, I don't even know whether I was in the spirit or I was out of the spirit, or whether this was just a vision that I had in my mind, or if I was transported to the moment. But the impact that was on him, I just, in my heart, I believe there was a transformation. I believe that he walked into that throne room there and began to encounter God in such a way that it did not, listen, it did not cause him to go dig a hole and fall into it. Watch what he does in a minute in there. It didn't cause him to sit there and go, okay, I'm terrible, I'm disgusting, I shouldn't be around here, I'm leaving. That's not what it did. But it did do this. Listen to what the words are. Woe is me, for I am undone. See, you could see that word, that means I'm wrecked. I'm just... It's like someone unraveled him in that moment. That all senses of, if you were here many, many years ago, God would just love to unravel me at different times when I'd stand up here and preach. That there would become such an unraveling in those moments. And I could feel this intense, intense, intense presence of God, which I still feel now, but I think I have learned to be able to stand in where before, when it began to happen, I didn't have a clue what was going on, and I didn't fully know how to stand in the midst of it. But the presence of God must transform us. Wasn't that amazing this morning? There was a hush, and I sometimes can. It's hard. Please forgive us when I have to walk upon the platform and talk to Pastor Jay, and you're in the midst of worship. I know that sometimes it can be distracting, but can I encourage you in those moments just to shut yourself in with him and don't worry about or watch us to see what's going to happen in those moments. But I walked over to him because Downo was over here and Sean had a good word, and yet I began to see that word happening. And then I looked up over there, and behind Pastor Jay was this massive angel. And for some of you that don't know these things or don't understand these things, it was to see in the spirit this. You see it all throughout scripture. Just look at it where you can see that this beginnings to happen. And I looked over, and this angel is massive. But here's what would happen. This angel, Pastor Jay would move to the left or do something. This angel would move to the left. He would move to the right. He was keeping busy, okay, in there because he was behind him in this. But he was doing this at the same time going, you know, and because he was here in this, but he was so, there was such an excitement on his face. And it was when I turned to him and I walk up to him, and it's not easy sometimes because I didn't walk up to him and said, I have a word about. I walked up to him and said, I think you have a word about such and such. But in that moment, you see, that angelic visitation was here to begin to move us into a next and what God was doing. Can I say to you this? I don't come in here looking for angels. I don't walk around going, where are you? What you doing? But I sit there and I pay attention, though, in the spirit when things begin to happen. And for him, in this situation, this is what happened. That word woe, that word means of great regret. It is almost a grief. It is something that is deep. It's not just I kind of feel bad about this. This is something that's a groan within him. Because in that moment he recognizes, and this is what he recognizes, because I am a man of unclean lips. And for me, this journey that the Lord has been taking me on is, that Rod, I need you to represent well all the time. Therefore, I'm going to empower you, be with you, but I need you to choose to stop a few things. Because the word was in the beginning, as I shared to you, how exciting it is to see all of us that can bring a word of life. And we believe here as a ministry that everywhere we walk as individuals, that we leave a trail of life behind us rather than a trail of destruction. So that when we walk into the grocery store, we leave a trail of life behind us. We don't sit there and I tell you, it's hard. It's hard. I mean, this may sound like a joke, but and I'm dead serious when I say it. I don't like my bread to be squished. Come on now. Okay. And so for me, when the cashier or when the young, they're just like, it's like, beep, beep. It's wrong. Beep, beep. You know, it's just trying. And I'm like, and then they put it in the bag and you're done. It takes everything. Heather never does that, by the way. Okay. In there. But it takes everything in me. Tell you, I recently had an opportunity, and this was hilarious, okay? I had an opportunity where I went into the store, and I was buying something on the church account. Ooh, okay. Buying something on the church account. And this man comes up, and he's telling me, no, you can't do this. And I've done this here 4 times at least. I've done this at all these other, particularly the same kind of stores. And he's telling me, no, you can't do it. You've never been able to do it here. And I'm like, oh, I don't like paying for things I shouldn't have to. Okay, and it's just there. I'm willing, sort of, Lord, right? Okay, in there. But I don't like it if I don't have to. Okay, in there. But I was losing my, I had a hold of it. But the face was beginning to change. And you would not believe who showed up 2 feet from me. I look over and there's Connie. Is this real? Let's just see. Psh, yes, this is real. Okay, in there, right? But in that moment, in that store, I'm serious because I know I've done this before. I could bring in receipts for it. Okay. All these things. But in that moment, what was more important? The $4 that I was going to save or the character that I was about to show that wasn't very good, possibly. See, in this moment, listen, it's not a matter of the fact that I can't have discussions. I'm not telling you as Christians, we just got to be walked over and we go, whatever. We can have discussions, but in the end, listen, if I was to sit there and get really upset and just cause such a fuss over this $4, and then as I'm walking out, the Lord says, I have a word for him. And he's like, well, I wonder who's going to give him that. Because it ain't me. You know, because it's like after all that going, by the way, Jesus loves you. And I have a word of life for you that you're going to manage this place one day. Right. You know, whatever it might be. Right. In those moments. But the truth is in there is that our lips, our mouths. Come on now. We have got to realize that for some of us, here's the thing. What this means is, hold on to your seatbelts, okay? In this is this. If you look over, I believe that what the Lord wants to get us to stop is having a poisonous tongue. We should not be a people that produce life and death out of that tongue. And death comes more than just the fact, listen to me, more than just the fact that what I say, it's what I think as well. So these are key in this moment. You might say, well, my mom told me that if you can't say anything good, don't say anything at all. We've used that expression too. Okay, in there. But then I read a book recently again, this chapter in there. And this person talks about the fact that that's not really good. Because if you can't say anything good at all, you got a problem. Seriously, in this. And something has to change. And inside of me, the Lord has been walking me through Matthew chapter 6. Okay, so turn over there with Matthew chapter 6 for me. And we're going to look at we'll come back to this in a second here if we get back there. But Matthew chapter 6 first, let's go there. Ah, thank you, Lord. You know what? Instead of going there, let's go to Matthew chapter 12 instead. Matthew chapter 12 And what I wanted to do, to look at here, right. Don't you just love this? Yeah, make sure you're in 12, not 11 when you're trying to find the right one. Thank you, Lord. Panic is now averted. There we go. It is the scripture that I had been looking at for weeks now in this. But let's go up to verse 33, and we'll specifically right now, though, look at verse 36, but I'll read them all. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. And so I think that that's always what we got to look at, is what kind of fruit am I producing? Because we don't, by the way, we don't get to say, I may be producing bad fruit, but it's not my fault. Sorry to say that again and see if I get another amen. We don't get to say, I'm producing bad fruit, but it's not my fault. You don't know what that person did to me. I get it. I have told you some of my stories. That doesn't mean that I don't have to go through this. It doesn't mean it didn't hurt. It doesn't mean it's not real. But I still don't get to react that way because of those situations. And then let me just read on here. I've got to go. Brood of vipers, it says, how can you be evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasures of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasures brings forth evil things. And then this verse. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account for it in the day of judgment. Now, that's a pretty powerful word. There's some explanation in the sense of what the day of judgment in that. I don't fear in the sense that I am going to get cast out of heaven because of these things, but I do believe that I will have to give an account for every idle word. The question that I have to ask is in this world we live in, what does that mean, idle word? And it's very, very funny how this, now another version would say it this way, but I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall have to give account for. So idle and careless are the two words that are used in two different translations. But this word actually means this. It takes a phrase to explain a word. And so what it means is this: it does not work, or it does not produce. That's what that word means. So when we're talking about an idle word, we can see that. If I'm idle, if I'm doing nothing, I'm not producing anything, right? So the idea in this is, guess what? Our words should produce something. They always, in fact, produce something. It's whether they're producing life or whether they're producing death. And in this, we are really strongly encouraged, and even to the point of saying, Lord, I have got to stop with my murmuring. Come on now, are you with me? I know that's hard to say amen to, but it's something where murmuring, and here's the even bigger one, really, that when we think of this careless word that doesn't produce life, it doesn't benefit anyone. So at times, here's the idea with this, is that we can begin to click into prophecy mode, okay? And all of a sudden, we're speaking life. And then we go home, and we then begin to speak death with our mouth. And that might be the fact that we might begin to speak in ways of this word that is really terrible, this word in the sense of it's called gossip. And it's to begin to talk, and sometimes I remember even the fact that we, even as Christians, we have prayer gossip. It's just the way that this is you should pray for so-and-so. You didn't hear? Well, let me tell you, we should have a prayer when we're done. And you never, like, that is not what this is. This is simply gossip in this moment. Now, it's the difference about going over and saying, so this so-and-so is really going through a hard time. We should pray for him, maybe to continue to pray for him. But to gossip, to give details, or the idea would be then even to slander their character, because here's what you're doing. You're sliming that other person towards them. That's what you're doing. That every time, now when that person, let's say that that person told you something in confidence here, and then you're going and telling someone else, what happens in this is, listen, when that person, let's say that, for example, I was walk up to Steve and I would say, Steve, you would not believe what Josephine, I mean, she's just going through it right now, but you know, it is difficult, maybe part of it is her own fault, because she's always, you know, and you start to do this. When he sees Josephine next time, what happens? He hears my words like a tape in his head because I judged her through him, and then he in turn then will judge her because of me. Hear me? Like, this is powerful stuff, and we should not be a people that out of our, we are a prophetic community, right? We're a community that speaks life. Someone comes into our church and they're like, man, I never seen this kind of thing before. In there. And yet it should not be that we show up then, either we go to work or we go home or we sit with our spouses or with our friends or whatever it would be, and we begin to allow our tongues to become idle. Every word that's spoken out of my mouth. So I am trying to, and when I did this and retrained my brain to begin to see everything on the fact of, you might know, you might ask this question, why is he always talking about being encouraging? Why is he always looking at, come on now, Pastor Rod, don't you know reality? The reality is that thing is half full and it's going to be full, empty, because somebody's going to come along and drink it. Pastor Rod, open your eyes and see. Come on now. That's a way of beginning to thinking. Instead of being, you know what? Even if somebody comes along and drinks the rest of that, my God's got all that I need. Come on now. That is, it's not a matter of truth that someone's going to come along and drink that. Okay, somebody might in there. But I serve a God that knew and maybe even sent them to receive this, and he's got my back. Come on now. Are you with me? And this is not just something that you sit there and go, yeah, okay, that's all good. This is way, if we want to go to this next thing of God beginning to use us outside of this building radically, this is what begins to happen. Because I'm pretty quick, I think, usually to expose my own faults in the midst of this. But this was a situation, and I think it just bears repeating, that when you walk into a store, you're an example of Jesus, right? This doesn't mean you have to be taken advantage of. You understand the difference. But while standing up for your own rights, if you'd say this, we can do it in a way that esteems the Lord. And if it only costs $4 to be wrong, maybe we ought to just be wrong. Do you understand me? This is what I'm talking about. It's this sense of focus. When I look then, okay, go over with me to Ephesians chapter 4, and I can never see what that clock says in there. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, and I'm coming in for a landing, but you know what that means. Nothing at all. Okay. Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to look really from verse 25 on, but let's just look at this just for a few minutes here. It says, therefore, putting away lying, that'd be a good thing, right? Letting each of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. And then this is, the next verse, let him who stole steal no longer. Those are good things. But rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. And then this verse. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for and necessary for edification, which means to build up, to strengthen, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Now, when I look at this again, I go through what this word is, this word for corrupt. It's so interesting, so intriguing. And I'm going to close some-ish with this. Yeah, I know. I just try. I really do. But here, that word corrupt actually means dried up. That's what that word means. Don't let any dried up words come out of your mouth. Let me ask you something. If I was to come over to you and I was to pour sand in your mouth, first of all, you'd probably smack me. But secondly, what would happen? You'd be like, and then your mouth would be so dry. You see, that I think is what this reference is. That when we walk up to something, if let no corrupt word come out of our mouth, let no dried up words come out of our mouth, because here's what's supposed to come out of our mouth. John 4 and 14, John 7 and 38, if you're writing them down, both of them talk about this in some ways, but John 4 and 14 says, talks about we are the wells, we are wells, or we are living water, springs of living water that spring up into eternal life. They were supposed to be these, John 7, 38, talking in that area, talking about the fact of being rivers of living water. I always say it this way, I want to be a river of life-giving water. I don't need to dry anybody out because they're already dry enough. Do you understand? They're already going through enough stuff. And there's a difference between having, and this is this, you know, it's this fine line that sometimes I don't know what to do with. Can I just be, I'm going to be anyways, so I'll just say it. That sometimes there's a difference between I need to be real, because that's the word that always, everybody always sticks in my face with this. Pastor Rod, I just need to be real with you. Fasten your seatbelts, here comes something, okay, in there. Or it would be, you know, in my culture, we just say it like it is. Oh, here comes a big one, okay, in there. Because it's almost like I warned you, I pre-warned you, now here it comes, okay, in this. And that's not the way we're supposed to be. We are to be people that we, everywhere we go, we should be leaking the rivers of life. Like what Dorman experienced this morning. And I tell you, if Dorman were to get up here and he shared this, he would open up his life. And you, and I'm telling you, he would talk about the things that are struggles for him. All of us are in these categories. But it doesn't stop us. For him, it doesn't stop him from then still reaching out and sharing the life and the love of Christ. But I'll just end with this. If somebody could just come back to the piano just for a minute. I asked myself this question. Actually, has the Holy Spirit ever given you questions to ask yourself? That's really what it was. It wasn't necessarily me sitting down and asking. The Holy Spirit gave me this question. And he said, so Rod, is the problem your mouth? When he asks you that, I'm like, so Lord, you know, so we're just going to get the next, you know, what is this, Lord? Is the problem your mouth? Let's go back over just for a second to Matthew again, and I'll close with this. I will really close with this. Matthew chapter 12 again. Verse 34, brood of vipers, how can you being evil speak good things? And then this part here. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Here's the truth with me. If I'm complaining, the issue is my heart. It's really not the circumstances, but it's what I've believed about the circumstances. Because the circumstances will change. Have you ever complained about a circumstance and thought it was so big and so huge and then next day it was gone? And you're like, well, what in the world did I freak out for? See, it's not about the circumstance. It's about how you see the circumstances. Can I encourage you with this, that in this next season, it is a season truly of being able to sit there and go, Lord, I know that I've heard that before, but I want to hear it brand new again. I want to receive it brand new again. In order for me to stop complaining, stop grumbling, stop gossiping, stop talking about this person, that person, maybe stop having, you know, this pastor for dinner rather than have them over for dinner, but actually have them for dinner. If you understand what I'm saying, you're sitting there and you're just chewing them and chewing them and chewing them as you're sitting there. Some of us have learned enough not to do this with other people, but maybe we do this with our spouses. Maybe we do this with ourselves. But this day, this moment, I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and just shut yourself in with the Lord and say, God, I have been doing these things. My mouth has not been It's been dry stuff coming out of me. It's been corrupt stuff coming out of me. There's been stuff that's just not life coming out of me. And I have been grumbling and I have been complaining and I have been... So God, what's in my heart right now? And this isn't something we can do in 2 minutes here, but it is something that the Holy Spirit can begin to do if you're willing. This is simply how I do this. Is Holy Spirit, what do you have to heal in me? But in this process, this is how I begin. If you... If we don't begin with repentance, we'll never get anywhere. So if you need to, even right now, with you and the Lord, just to begin to say, Father, forgive me, for this is sin. I recognize this, Lord, for what it is. This is sin. Father, forgive me. And then I begin to say, wash me clean, Lord, of this, that I might receive this forgiveness. Wash my mouth clean, that the words that come out of my mouth, that they would give you glory and they would give you honor. And Lord, heal my heart. Forgive me, Lord, for focusing on the wrong thing, focusing on what's happened to me. And although that needs to be done in an environment where we need to find healing, and I have done this so many times. Forgive me, Father, for being unwilling to release that person. Forgive me, Father, for being unwilling to then love them in a way that's not protective, but the way that is extravagant, God. Help me, Lord, to go from just the fact of, Lord, I forgive them, to God, I want them to succeed. I want them to be blessed. And if they've stolen from you in business, that you begin to sit there, it's to say, I forgive them and I want them to be blessed, is not to say that what they did was right, but you leave that in the hand of God. And you begin to say, but I'm not going to carry this offense with me anymore today. If this person hurt me, or that person doesn't see my gifts, or this person, what they said was so cruel. Lord, I want to be free. If you're with me right now, say, Lord, I want to be free. I want to be free, Lord. Because, Lord, in this next season, I want to be a vessel that you can flow through. A vessel that will dynamically affect people's lives. I want to be a vessel that you begin to pour out healing and restoration to. I want to be a vessel, Lord, that I can help people, that I can see them come to life, Lord. I want to be a person, Lord, that you are going to use in such a way. So I say, Lord, here am I, just going right back to Isaiah now. After he had repented, the angel came by and he took this coal off the altar and he put it on his lips. And the words that he uses are that your iniquity be removed and your sin be removed. And so we know that those unclean lips were not just something that he was having to figure out, but that this was sin. But in the next minute, he hears, so who will go for us? And at that moment, he says, here am I, send me. You see, I don't want to be sent without being cleansed. I don't want to be sent to somebody's home to help them, or sent to a store and find that my filter is filthy. And Lord, I need you to forgive me. but that when we are commissioned and when we're sent to go somewhere, we walk in there fresh, clean, and ready to represent our Lord who loves us so much, so well. Would you stand with me this morning? Can I encourage you? I know that there's a lot going on today and over this next week, but if you could just spend a little time with the Lord and just saying, Father, because we don't have to be sin conscious all the time, but we don't want to be sin ignorant either. And I want it to be that we say, Lord, oh, there it is there, God. Okay, Lord, forgive me, wash me clean, heal me. Now here I am, use me, Lord. In your name, amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.